In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. I have a priest friend, Father Warren Harvey, who has a penchant for saying, "Never forget who you are and whose you are." Never forget who you are and whose you are. Not only is that a very catchy saying, it is also a very profound saying. And the two elements, who and whose, are closely connected to each other, and they shed light on each other. Who we are human persons endowed with intelligence and freedom, while whose we are indicates we are children of God, created in God's image and likeness. We are not, therefore, only the final product of the long, slow process of evolution, where we climbed out of the muck and the mire of primeval matter to stand erect and to rule the world and to reach out to the stars. But we are also given all our greatness by the hand of God, who fashioned the first man and woman out of the dust of the earth, but also bestowed his own life breath, in Hebrew, ruach, his spirit, in each of us. As a result, we achieve nothing without him. We belong utterly to him, as a baby belongs utterly to the mother while in her womb. We must strive every day to recall not only who we are, but also whose we are. Both are critical for us to find peace and joy. The French philosopher Etienne Gilson suggested that the fault of the first sin, and indeed every subsequent sin ever committed, has this failure to remember who we are and whose we are at its core. He wrote in rather densely philosophical language, "Thus the radical contingence of the finite beings," that's me and you, "brings it into absolute dependence on necessary being," that's God, "to whom all must be principally referred as to its source." And then he continues, and here's the take-home message. If we forget this, The original transgression, Adam and Eve's sin, is reenacted in ourselves. Or rather, it is just because its effects continue that we forget so easily. That is an extremely elaborate and eloquent way of saying the same thing that Father Harvey said. Never forget who you are and whose you are. In a sense, that forgetfulness was at the root of Adam and Eve's sin. They forgot whose they were. And that same amnesia belies all of our sins. We forget whose we are, and that even our every breath comes from the divine lungs. In the gospel today, 10 lepers are cleansed by Jesus, but only one of them returns to give thanks and to glorify God. It seems remarkable that the other 9 should so soon forget the source of their blessing, namely Jesus, the Son of God. But then again, maybe it should not surprise us that so many forget who they are and whose they are. Could that proportion of 9 to 1 be the approximate number of those who choose to remember the source of their blessings and those who foolishly forget? And notice it is a sin of omission. They failed to remember. They did not kill anyone. They did not rob a bank. They did not lie or cheat the other 9. They simply forgot who they were and whose they were. That forgetfulness lies at the root of all human sin and frailty. I believe that modern day atheism is a collective and coerced amnesia that is being inflicted on all of us in this society. Slowly but very systematically, God is being removed from the public square and from public dialogue. And he's being relegated to a closet and to an afterthought. Now, when we pray in public, what do? We observe a moment of silence. We stare into the void as if no one were listening and no one were answering. Radical atheist like Richard Dawkins argues in his book, The God Delusion, that religion is to blame for humanity's greatest miseries: wars, oppression, racism, genocide. Now, I know that some of this movement is well-intentioned, and there is some truth to the arguments of the atheists. But the bottom line is that we are forgetting who we are because we are ignoring whose we are. If we are not really the children of God, whose children will we be? Like the ugly duckling in Hans Christian Andersen's famous fairy tale, we go around asking aimlessly, "Are you my mother? Are you my mother? Are you my mother?" That is, until we find our way home to God and realize we were made in his image and likeness, far more splendid than a beautiful swan. Praised be Jesus Christ.